Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. It's quarter number three of our show. And in this quarter, we are going to look at players who are on the spot, perhaps feeling some pressure as we go into the 2021 season. And we're going to start with the offense in quarter number three. And Dustin, just to let people in a little bit on the inside of how this show happens is notes get transferred between you and I. You sent me your notes on who the players were who are on the spot on offense. Only 11 guys are allowed on the field at the time, Dustin, and you've got seven guys who are on the spot. That sounds like a lot of guys.
They're all on the spot, every single one of them. Man, that unit, for one, but also, you know, I think just different dynamics. And I think when I say on the spot, like there are two different ways for me to look at it. The first way and sort of the intent of this whole segment is guys who are – they need to take that next step. They need to step into starting jobs. They need to play bigger roles, and Penn State needs them to do that. It's not a luxury. They are needed guys, and there are a few in that way. But then there are some positions where multiple guys play where, you know, they need to take a step without necessarily needing to be a star, without necessarily needing to be a starter. So that's where all the different kind of names come from. There are different ways that guys are on the spot, in my opinion.
I'm going to start, Dustin, on the offense, the most important position. And not only is it their positional importance, but this is a guy who I totally and completely believe is on the spot, and that's Sean Clifford. We definitely can't have the Sean Clifford from the 0-5 start last year.
Yeah, you need a cool, composed game manager who can maybe add some more layers to that. You saw him really trying to do too much in the early part of last year. I think you saw him trying to do too much as a starter in 2019 as well. You didn't quite see, especially early in the year, you didn't quite see some of those implosions that you saw early in the 2020 year. But at the same time, you need to take what he was in the second half of last season, where he was under control and he managed situations and he didn't try to do too much. He didn't try to be a hero. He wasn't feeling like the entire pressure of the offense was on his shoulders. You need to take that as a starting point now for 2021. You need to bring the guy who's committed to not making those types of errors. And now you need to add some more dynamic play calling, and you need to ask him to do a little bit more than that too. It's hard to be a national contender if your quarterback is only being asked to not lose games. You have that luxury if you're Alabama and you've got just hammers everywhere on offense and defense. You can ask your quarterback to do that. I think there have been some times where they have asked their quarterback to manage the situation and not necessarily, you know, beat teams with his arm. So Penn State needs Sean Clifford to be a guy who can not only not lose games, but now win games. And, you know, he's been through it all, I think. And the question is, will he come out stronger on the other side? In some respects, the last four games of last year offered some encouragement, but now you need to take that positivity and that momentum, and you need to ask him to break some games open too. That you're not going to win a lot of games if Sean Clifford is just moving the chains and not making mistakes.
Dustin, I was stunned by how poorly he played in the first half of the season. I thought we saw enough in 2019 to think that the 2020 version of Sean Clifford, even if he wasn't going to be an elite quarterback, he's going to be a really good quarterback.
Yeah, I think, you know, Penn State can win games with him being a really good quarterback. And for me, you know, I think Sean Clifford checks a lot of the physical boxes. He's not the big, strong-arm, gunslinger kind of guy, but he's got plenty of arm strength at this level. He moves well enough. He can do damage with his legs. I think he's got some nice zip and some nice accuracy both in the short and deep passing games. Like, I think when he's at his best, he's a really good quarterback. But it, to me, it shows the difference between, you know, being physically capable and having the mental tools to be able to keep yourself under control and not get too revved up and not not get flustered into mistakes. You know, he's a case study to me in the mental part of the game and managing his emotions and using his high energy and kind of high strung nature to his advantage and not his detriment. And we've seen that to his detriment before. But maturation can happen. You know, I think if he's able to mature to a point where he isn't feeling, you know, like he's got the whole world on his shoulders, I think maybe the little bit of humble pie last year helped him kind of understand that he was on the verge of losing his job. Maybe that helps him become a better person and a better player. That's the hope right now. But he's got to be able to, in early game situations, not make crushing mistakes because he's too revved up. That's Sean Clifford. That's his journey.
As we typically do, Dustin, when we start down the quarterback path, we end up taking more time than I thought we would. I should understand that by now. So we still have several players we want to hit on, so let's go a little more rapid fire. Staying at the quarterback position, Taquan Roberson, he's one play away from being your starting quarterback. This is probably at least a year ahead of schedule for what we or perhaps even the coaches thought. He's got to step up a bit if he's going to be the number two guy.
Yeah, and I think what's got Penn State fans kind of fearful of the situation is you have no idea what Taquan Roberson might be able to do. And part of that is that James Franklin did not make an issue of getting him on the field to get those repetitions. You know, he needed them, I think. And I don't think anybody really saw him being in the role that he is right now, but this is his time now to stake his claim to not just the backup job, but maybe get that foot in the door to when there is an open competition again, that he's the guy to beat in that competition. That's where he's on the spot. And, you know, that you've seen it all over college football, that your backup could be in the game in the blink of an eye, whether that's just for, okay, Sean Clifford gets his helmet knocked off, or Sean Clifford tweaks his knee on a run and needs to sit out a series. You know, there are all kinds of situations where your backup gets his number called. Penn State went through one last year because Sean Clifford wasn't any good to start the year. If that happens again, is Taquan Roberson really going to be able to push him for anything? At this point, I would say probably no, but that's why he's on the spot.
That's right. We don't know what we have there. All right, let's go to the offensive line, Dustin, where you have the bookend tackles are back, which is great news. The bad news on the offensive line is the interior of the line, where Michael Mennett, Will Fry, C.J. Thorpe, they've all moved on one way or another. One of the guys who's going to have to step up is Juice Scruggs. We saw a little bit of him last year. Between he and Mike Miranda, one of them we presume will be the starting center, one will be a starting guard. What can we look for from Juice Scruggs?
I think you saw an aggressive guy, a confident guy when he had his number called last year. The challenge for him, I think, will be can he make a claim for the center job? I don't know. I mean, on one hand, you would like Mike Miranda to maybe stay in the position where he was so good last year. But on the other hand, usually experience wins out. But if two guys are capable of playing center, you want the guy who's played in a bunch of games, who can communicate, who knows the calls, and can handle that burden well. So in that way, I do feel like Mike Miranda would be, at this point, my favorite to win the center job, just because you can't replace that game experience. But Juice Scruggs, one way or another, is going to be a starting guard or a starting center, and Penn State's going to need him to play at that high level for, you know, every snap in a game instead of just coming in for a handful at a time.
We've talked, Dustin, a lot about the wide receivers, the lack of depth. The number three by the end of the year was Keandre Lambert-Smith. Parker Washington, his fellow freshman, stepped up, really made himself into a starter. I get the feeling from our show that you thought Lambert-Smith wasn't quite ready for prime time. I probably am more high on him. I'm probably more forgiving of the true freshman stepping in and playing and expecting to see more from him. But he is on the spot. He will probably be that number three guy.
He was ordained as such. I think the way that they used him last year, you know, it was clear that they felt like maybe this isn't the year that we're going to get maximum productivity out of Keandre Lambert-Smith. I do feel like he, you know, mentally and physically, he needed to grow a little bit more before they could lean on him to be, you know, a consistently productive part of that wide receiver core. But last year, I felt like it was an investment into getting to that point sooner. So I think in 2021, the hope from everybody is that Lambert-Smith can lean on that experience, lean on the mistakes, lean on the stuff that showed up on film that he needed to clean up or do better, get in the weight room, gain 10 pounds, and be ready, be more ready all around. And I think that you need him to be your number three guy. And you know, you could also point to, depending on how you feel about Daniel George or Cam Sullivan Brown, but the way that they use Keandre Lambert-Smith and the way that he had favor over both of those guys last year in a lot of situations, to me, says that they're aiming for him to be their number three guy.
Another name on your list, Dustin, and I want to hear your take on, is Devin Ford. With all of the running backs in the room, Devin Ford coming out of high school, a five-star talent, a guy I was really excited about, he's at risk of just being passed by in that room.
Yeah, I mean, if he can't be as steady and consistent as those, you know, the couple guys, you know, on the, you know, Noah Kane and Kevon Lee, they're kind of the same running back. You hope that Devin Ford can come in there and complement what they do by being a game breaker who kind of works the outside of defenses, who is so quick and can make one cut and get to the, you know, and take it and make it a big gain. That's something that Kane and Kevon Lee both aren't. That's not their strong suit. So you would love for Devin Ford to step in there and be that guy, but you know, when you look at where he came from and what you hoped for him, you know, this is an important year for him to try to salvage at least some of that and not just be the, okay, I'm going to jump in for, you know, six or eight plays a game and do what I do. Like, I think Penn State could really use him being what they thought he was going to be as a five-star recruit.
And you mentioned Noah Kane, we expect to come back. And don't forget, there's also John Lovett coming from Baylor. Are there going to be enough carries for all the players?
John Lovett, 6'2", 205 too. You got three guys who kind of fall in the same category. Then you got Keziah Holmes and Devin Ford. There's a lot of options, a lot of really steady power running backs. I think Penn State can mix and match and get the most out of these guys.
Okay, that is it for quarter number three. Looking at offensive players who are on the spot, guess what we're going to do in quarter four? We're going to go to the other side of the ball. We're going to look at defense and who's on the spot there. Stick with us.
It won't be long before we get back outside for those cookouts and tailgates. And the best way to get ready is at thetailgateclub.com. We feature your favorites from 409 Tailgate with their Peachy Paws barbecue sauce and famous Bloody Mary mix. We also have great condiments you won't find at the grocery store, like bacon ketchup and hot banana mustard. How about salsas like raspberry chipotle and roasted red chili and honey? Head over to thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com for all these amazing products and more.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.